Praise God. Well, the word's good. Thank you.
Amen.
I struggled through worship there. It wasn't because we didn't practice. It wasn't because I was nervous. It wasn't because I just stink at the guitar, although that's probably true. But anyways, that's not why that happened. Actually, I'm even having trouble. It's going to be a good service tonight.
Amen.
I was at home getting ready in my office and just praying. Smells like a wood stain up there. It just got stained, so that was fun being up there in that, but it's getting better. But anyways, I was up there, and the Lord started dealing with me about tonight's service. And as I was coming here, about tonight's service, and then started dealing with me about the music that we're going to sing in tonight's service, and you could tell that it kind of was framed around certain things. And you know, Brother Hagin, one time, he's a minister for those that are visiting, that passed away in 2003. He's with Jesus now, but he would have a Mother's Day sermon that he would have prepared for Mother's Day to come, and just kind of would present it. I don't mean to be fumbling around here, but tonight's going to be just so wonderful. The anointing is really strong up here, and sometimes when the supernatural hits the natural struggles a little bit, and the natural's struggling a little bit tonight. But anyways, let me get to my point here. He had a Mother's Day sermon prepared and all ready to go, and he got into the pulpit, and the Lord had him do something different. Well, in his mind, he fought that, but he knew and learned long enough, been around long enough, that it's just wise to follow the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And when he did, there was great blessing in the midst of the people. And so I had a message tonight prepared for the Word of Wisdom to start in our Gifts of the Spirit series. But the Holy Ghost wants to interrupt us tonight. And I'll just say it this way. There is at least one person in here, and I don't know everybody's background at all. In fact, I you know, those songs were on my heart as I was getting here, and I just kept fighting it because I knew that would take us in a different direction, but that's the direction we want to go. But anyways, there's somebody in here, at least one person. Now, y'all will benefit from this, but that needs a miracle. I'm not just a healing, I mean a miracle from God. And He's the miracle-working God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm talking about in your body. You need a miracle. And healing's available, but there's somebody that needs a miracle. That's been told something is incurable. That's been told something is impossible. And that's why the Lord would have us to sing those songs to build your faith for it. And so if we could just start in Acts chapter 14. I don't even know how long the preaching is going to go for, but and I don't say that, I mean it's going to go super long. I mean it might be really, really short tonight and just get down to business here, but I just need to follow my spirit. And before we even go forward tonight, you need to know that Jesus Christ is the same, the Bible says this now in Hebrews 13, is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
That's what the Word says.
Yeah.
That Jesus, the one we worship, the one that's greater on the inside, that Jesus, the Bible says, is the same.
Yes.
Well, if there was, if I had an identical twin, oh Lord Jesus, I know you're thinking, oh God, not two of them. But if I had an identical twin, right? You'd say he looks just the same as Pastor Mike. And it would be the same features, the same traits. And so if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, which we are interested in the todays and the forevers, because tomorrow's forever, it's going into the future. We're interested in the todays. If he's the same today as he was back then, well, that's good news to us living in today, because back then he was doing miracles. Back then he was healing bodies. Everywhere he went, he affected people with positive change.
Amen?
Amen. And so that's the Jesus that we're preaching here tonight. That's the Jesus that we're worshiping. We're not worshiping religion. We're not worshiping an idea. We're worshiping the living God. And so if you're here tonight and you need healing, He's the healer. If you're here tonight and you need a miracle, He's a miracle-working Jesus. Amen? He was back then and He's today. Hallelujah. And so you need to know that. Glory to God. For He's great. He's great. Hallelujah. And He does miracles so great. There is no one else like Him. And the Spirit of God prompted us to sing those songs to spark a flame in you. Because if you're going to sing that, you are great, you do miracles so great, then are we just singing it? Are we giving that lip service because it sounds good? Or are we singing it because we believe that you're the miracle-working God?
Praise the Lord.
We've been crying out for this kind of manifestations to happen in our churches with the gifts of the Spirit. Well, so when it happens, we need to be open to it. Because it's as the Spirit wills. Because I prepared all day to preach on the Word of Wisdom. This didn't happen until right before I left. I started to sense something's going to be a little different tonight. And then in the office, I just knew, well, we're not doing that.
Praise God.
Praise God. And then I get up here, I'm fumbling around on the guitar and not knowing what to say. And again, we practiced. We sounded good in practice. At least I thought. Of course, Sarah always makes it better when she comes in. She saves the whole thing. And praise God. And we didn't jack up in practice. At least she didn't jack up live either. But I just couldn't get through it. But Acts chapter 14, I'm just going to follow the Holy Ghost here. Acts chapter 14 and verse 8, it says, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked." Wow. Now, it doesn't tell us how old he is, but it says he's a man. It's not a child. So he's been this way for a while, through elementary years, through middle school, high school years, up into adulthood, manhood stages. And it says that he was a cripple, never had walked. Now notice this, the same heard Paul speak. The same heard Paul speak. Well, Paul must have been saying something because he was speaking. So something was coming out of his mouth and that gentleman was hearing Paul speak. Well, we know one thing about Paul is he's a minister of the gospel. So he's preaching the gospel. Well, one of the things that Jesus said about the gospel is that he's anointed me, Jesus said, to preach the gospel to the poor, right? Preach deliverance to the captives, to heal the brokenhearted, but also to recover the sight of the blind. What's he saying? The gospel is a gospel of healing. So if Paul's a preacher of the gospel, which we know he is, we know at some point he preached healing. And it says the same heard Paul speak. Well, we know something about hearing. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word." So if Paul's speaking and it's going in the guy's ears, whatever Paul's saying, faith is starting to rise up for that, because when you hear the word, the Bible says the law is that faith comes.
Amen.
Just like when the Holy Spirit have us play those songs, "You're my healer." That's why it sparks some faith in you. You're the miracle working God, because someone in you needs a miracle.
Amen.
Now healings, praise God, if you just need a healing, glory to God, that's available too. But I'm saying somebody needs a miracle. What's a miracle? Something that's, doctors can't fix it. Medicine can't fix it. Time can't fix it. But Jesus can.
Amen.
Jesus can. Hallelujah. And it said, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, his eyes were locked on him. And perceiving, Paul's eyes are locked on him. Notice this, perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Paul looked at the guy as he's preaching. Well, if the guy has faith for healing, that tells us what Paul is preaching. He had to have been preaching healing. Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word. Faith for finances does not come when you hear about healing. Faith for finances doesn't come when you hear about righteousness. Faith for righteousness comes. Faith for healing comes when you hear about healing. Faith for finances comes when you hear about finances. Amen?
Amen.
It says, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." And he leapt and he walked. And when the people saw what had been done, they lifted up their voices saying in the speech of Laconia there, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. They thought some gods were doing this. And they went on and told them, well, that's Jesus. But anyways, what I want you to see, go back to verse 9. The same heard Paul speak steadfastly, beholding him and perceiving he had faith to be healed. So Paul said, I see this guy, and he's now in line or in position to receive what he's never received because he's heard the word and he can be healed now. So if you're here tonight and you need a miracle, you need your healing, I'm telling you, Jesus is the healer. You say, well, that was good back then in Bible times, but see, the Bible's the same yesterday. See, when Jesus was healing, they would have thought about Jesus in this situation as being yesterday because he was gone. So they would have heard about Jesus and they would have probably thought, well, it was great when he was here. But see, the word is still true. The word is all the time because God is always. God's always been. God's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. So even back then, there was always the word of Jesus is the same. So Paul wasn't tripped up by this guy's problem. This guy wasn't tripped up by his problem. He knew my Jesus is the healer.
Amen.
The healer of all disease. He is the name above all names.
Amen.
You know what that means? He's the name above the name impossible.
That's right.
He's the name above the name incurable.
That's right.
He's the name above the name of I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
He's above it.
Yeah.
He's above that name. Praise God. He's above that name. Your Jesus is above that name. And Paul said, "If this, what I'm trying to show you is that your faith tonight, by the music getting put into you, by the preaching getting put into you, is going to give you the opportunity to get what you need."
Amen.
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 It is. Hallelujah. Go with me to James chapter 5. Praise his holy name forevermore.
Amen.
I was going to say, sorry, this is different, but why be sorry what the Holy Ghost is doing?
That's right.
We got to be open to as the Spirit wills. I mean, I was excited to preach on the Word of Wisdom. I love the Word of Wisdom. It's one of my favorite gifts of the Spirit. Because one thing that the Word of Wisdom does is it declares the plans and purposes of God. And that's exciting to me. And so, but we'll have to get to that another time. James chapter 5. In verse 14, let's stay in verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, if you really kind of look at this, say, why don't you anoint with oil? Well, if you notice in that verse, it says, let him call for the elders. This is talking about homebound people that can't get to the church. And one of the things that can use as a spark plug for, see, you have to understand, oil in the Bible represents the anointing.
Amen.
It's not just something to make you greasy. It represents the anointing. When they would anoint someone, they would put the oil, it would run down, and it would just represent that anointing. So, but you have to understand, there's no power in Crisco.
That's right.
There's no. It's not the It's not the oil that brings the healing. It's not. Now, just like it's not the laying on of hands that brings the healing. That might be the contact point. Just like in the Bible, when it says over there in Acts where Paul wrought special, that God wrought special miracles through the hands of Paul, that they would bring to him handkerchiefs and he would lay hands on them and they'd go take that cloth back and lay it on somebody's body and they would get healed. There's nothing special about this fabric. Just like when the woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5 and verse 25 came in the press behind and touched his garment and Jesus felt power go out of him. It wasn't because, oh, she touched some special healing garment. No. That was a contact point.
Amen.
And we can use it as a contact point. So don't get hung up on the oil thing. Get hung up on the next verse in verse 15. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
Hallelujah.
Do you see that there? Well, if you need a healing miracle, that would mean you're sick in some form. Right?
Yes.
Sick,
yes.
You know, this is, that word sick's a heavy word, you know, that's not a demeaning term or mean, but it means something's not well in you if you need a miracle. If you need healing in your body, it means that something is off, something's sick, right? The prayer, look at this, people, the prayer of faith, the same thing Paul looked at that guy and said, oh, I perceive he has faith to be healed. Paul didn't tell that guy to stand up and to act until Paul first perceived he's got faith to do it.
Amen.
See, because Paul would have needed to heal that guy a gift of the Spirit to do it apart from his faith. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit that we're going to look at, are the working of miracles and the gift of faith and the gifts of healings. You don't need anybody's faith. That's just, there's an anointing there to do it. Boom. Praise God. But that guy, Paul said, ooh, he's got faith to be healed. He didn't say stand up on your feet until he first realized that guy's got faith to do this. Well, I'm here to tell you that your prayer of faith, that when you release your faith, it can save you from that thing you're going through. And if you're here tonight, and you say, oh, I came to the wrong service tonight, I don't need any healing, the prayer of faith will save your finances too. The prayer of faith will save your children. Because the prayer of faith is an overcoming prayer. But we're gearing tonight in line with healing. Someone needs a miracle in their body. The prayer of faith will do that. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise His holy name forevermore. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. A few years back, I started to have stomach pains. One day, I remember going into my mom's bank. She's retired now. And I've never felt pain like this before in my life. And I just remember being just doubled over and kind of probably looking gray and everything. And I just kind of let that go. And it was a Saturday morning. It was the day of the Kentucky Derby. I remember that. And Courtney was napping. I think that Caleb was here, obviously, and it was just a few years ago. Caleb was here, but it was between the hours of like 1 and 4 during the pre-ceremonies of the Kentucky Derby and the lead-up where they talk about all the jockeys and the horses, and she was napping while Caleb was napping. He used to nap from 1 to 4, I mean religiously, 1 to 4, every single time he'd sleep. We'd have to wake him up. And when she was doing that, I was in so much pain, I got on the floor, and I was curled up in the fetal position for almost 3 hours for that whole nap because the pain was so bad. Well, I started to feel something. I got up in the recliner, and I kicked it back, and I had gone to the bathroom in that time. I don't mean to be crude, but it's just the truth I did, and I thought, man, all of a sudden I felt a warmth. I thought, man, I must have passed a kidney stone because I felt great. I was like, ooh, that feels so much better, relief. Well, what I didn't know at the time was my appendix had ruptured in me. And so when that happens, that's dangerous because then the poison starts to go through your body. And well, I didn't know. And so then it was Saturday went by, Sunday went by, all of Monday went by, and it was Monday night at a Brother Chris D'Amico service at the Family Church in Jamestown. And I remember Pastor Timmy always puts me right behind him in services, and Pastor Michael was there alone that night, and so he came over to me. Now, at this time, by the third night there, I was in so much pain and breaking out into cold sweats and just was having a tough time. And actually, if you go back and watch that service, I don't even know if they still have it, but they did on live stream. I went back. You can see how uncomfortable I am in that service. But Pastor Michael came over to me, and I usually sit in the second row at the Jamestown Church right behind Pastor Tim. He likes to put me there, keep an eye on me. You just never know what I'm going to do. And so he says, Pastor, come sit with me. My wife's not here tonight. I'd like to have you with me. So I did, and the whole service had a tough time. So he got done preaching. That service that night, this is amazing. Brother Chris laid hands on me for something else, and he hit me in my stomach. I thought I was going to die right there. I was in so much pain. Well, see, you think, well, why didn't you just get healed there? Well, because I should have been to the doctor. So you can't violate wisdom.
Amen.
You can't violate wisdom. You got to have some wisdom too with faith. But anyways, so there's a ministry, and I'm like, I gotta leave. And so I got up and I hobbled my way out to the parking lot. And I got out to that parking lot and I got in my car, went home, changed, and drove myself down to Warren General Hospital. And I just liked that hospital. I know it was dumb because I got into the waiting room and I collapsed on the floor. I just felt I couldn't take it anymore. And this is when I was pastoring over in the storefront. Well, anyways, I saw they do whatever they did to me. I don't even really remember it. And they came in and said, your appendix has been ruptured. Give me some background. I told them what happened. He said, I didn't know how I was alive. Well, after the surgery, I didn't know this with my family in the waiting room. They brought my appendix in a jar, and the doctor said, I've done hundreds of these. This is the worst one I've ever seen. And we just want you to know, we don't know why he's alive. Well, we know why. Amen. Right? But anyways, I still wish I didn't have to go through that. But anyways, so that Lord kept me, the power of God and the Word and all that kept me alive. But I was in a bad condition. Very, very bad. And I was in the most pain I've ever been in during that time. Most people with an appendectomy, they get out of the hospital within a day, two at the most. If it's a routine procedure, you know, where poison hasn't gotten them. I didn't get out of the hospital for 2 weeks. And actually, the second week that I, about 2 weeks, the second week, I'm so dumb sometimes, I actually preached. I don't know if some of you were at that service. I was going to pass out right there, and everyone said, "Pastor, you look awful." And I did. I just, the pain and everything, I shouldn't have been back that quick, but that would have been the second week after it had all happened. But anyways, while I was in the hospital, I was down and out, poison all through my body. And they were telling me, as I was coming off the meds a little bit more, they were telling me how long my recovery time would be at the hospital and how long until my body would be back to normal, if it would ever be back to fully normal. There were some other things that happened. Well, I'm laying there a lot at nighttime because I had something else happening while I was there, and I could only lay on one side of my body, and I'll tell you what, that hurts when you can't move around. And so my arms started hurting, so I hardly got any sleep except for when they really drugged me up, and you have a lot of time to think, and I'm thinking, okay, so I'm here I am, and this is what they tell me for my recovery time in the near future, and this is what they tell me in the long term. I said, but that's just not what the Bible says.
That's
when I started thinking to myself. I said, I've been taught faith since January 10th, 2002. This Sunday will be my spiritual birthday. Glory to God. Amen. 14 years old spiritually. Hallelujah. Oh, man, I hope I don't act like I did when I was really 14. I have to wait and see. Come on Sunday. You might see a show. Hallelujah. And so I have been taught faith. I'm laying there thinking, that's what this is for. That's what all that teaching was for right now. Now is not the time to lay there and mope and to hear everything they say and just say, oh, I guess that's my lot in life. They say that you can't recover from this and fully, possibly ever, and if you do, it's going to take you a whole year. I said, that's just not what the Word says. Well, the Bible says the prayer of faith will save the sick, raise you up.
Amen.
So I would get up at nighttime. I had my own room, thankfully, and I walked with my little IV cart. I've told this story before, and I would hardly be able to move. I mean, I'm serious. This is what I was doing. I was in so much pain. But I said, faith has action to it. You see, the action that you might have tonight might be getting out of your seat and coming up here and letting Pastor lay hands on you. Because I'll tell you, your mind will tell you, sit. No, faith without works is dead. I remember one lady in a service one time. She told the story. And the Lord told her to run. Take off running. Well, who wants to do that in front of everyone? I think I probably would look silly, like in my face and stuff when I was running. My cheeks would probably do things, and I wouldn't want anybody to see that. And neither would you. And my shoes are slipped out. You just imagine going around the corner in a big church and falling down in front of everyone. But the Lord told her to run. She knew it in her heart. Well, what does that have to do with anything? I don't know, but she did it. And when she got back to her seat and sat down, the Lord said to her in her heart, "You just ran right into your new home. Faith without works is dead." Well, I can lay in that bed all I want and mope and groan and cry and complain. I mean, here it was the beginning of turkey season, and I'm out. There ain't nothing worse than that. I'm serious. It was terrible. That Monday morning, when it was ruptured the third day, I went turkey hunting, and I walked across a cornfield. And it was a cut cornfield that they were getting ready to be planted, and so it was real bumpy and rocky. Every step I took, I was like, oh. And I was like, really? I was dying. I've never been dying while I was turkey hunting, so there's a first for everything. And so I'm laying there. I said, I could sit here. I could sit here. I could lay here. And I could mope and I could groan and I can complain about this, or I can put some action to my faith, because my faith, I know what I believe. I know that I don't have to accept the impossible. I know somebody, his name's Jesus. I just know him too well to know that I have to just accept what he has, what the world's throwing at me.
Right.
And God's name, one of his seven covenant names, is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you. In Exodus 15:26, he declares to the world, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." He declares once and for all, "I am that kind of a God." Praise his name. Psalms 103 and verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And then it goes on to say, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." He's either that God, or we're just reading some mumbo jumbo. He's that God. So I'm laying there, I'm thinking, I know too much to just lay here and accept what the doctors are telling me. I know too much.
Yeah.
I got Jesus on the inside of me. And so I got up and I'm walking around. And I say, oh, no, no, no. Because the Bible says this, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. They that love it will eat the fruit thereof. A man's belly will be satisfied by the fruit of his lips.
Yeah.
By your words you'll be justified. By your words you'll be condemned. For there I say to you, that whosoever shall say unto the mountain, "Be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea," and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says, he shall have whatsoever he says.
Amen. Praise God.
James says that your tongue is like a rudder. It directs you where you go.
Yes.
You speak healing, you go to healing. You speak sickness, you go to sickness. You speak lack, you go to lack. It says that it's like a bit in the horse's mouth. Wherever you steer that bit, that horse goes. Wherever that tongue goes, that's where it takes you. And so I'm sitting there and I'm saying, oh no. The doctors say, and I'm talking out loud, the doctor said, "I'm not going to be right and I'm not going to be out of here for a little while." I say, "I'm going to be out of here." And they're going to say about me, "He recovered faster than we expected." And I will not be abnormal in my body for a year. I will not. I will not. And I started saying, "Because you said in your word." Now I was a little more quiet because there were certain times they wanted me up and certain times they didn't want me up. And that was one of the times they didn't want me up. And so I didn't want to hear them to hear me and get me in trouble. I've been in trouble enough in my life. I don't need to get in trouble in the hospital. That's supposed to be where they love on you and take care of you. And so I'm saying, "By his stripes I am healed. By his stripes I am healed. He himself took my infirmities. He himself took my sickness. He bore my sickness. He took it on the tree. Every single thing. Every single thing. Every single thing. Every single thing. He's taken it. He's taken it. This pain." I started naming all the pain in my body. Well, I was out of there quicker than they thought. And all the pain and everything, all the problems, because actually when I got out of the hospital, man, things actually went down before they went up. And see, that's just the devil turning up the furnace a little hotter. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into a fiery furnace that would have smoked them as it is, Nebuchadnezzar turned it up seven times hotter. Why? Just add a little more pressure. Well, I actually got home from the hospital earlier than expected, but I got home from the hospital and had another attack in my stomach, went back to the hospital and walked in again and collapsed on the floor after the surgery and just laying there. I mean, I couldn't move. I was having so much pain. And then I started having, for a few weeks, where I'd go to sleep and I would just wake up absolutely like I just got out of a shower. I mean, it looked like I was wetting the bed. I wasn't, but I was through my sweat. I mean, just covered in sweat. And then my arms started doing funny things. It was crazy, all this stuff. But you know what I did? Faith, faith, faith. I guess it doesn't work. No, that's when I push harder, dig harder, confess more. And my point is that faith, after I believe it was 2 or 2.5 months, Courtney would be able to know for sure, every symptom in my body was gone. Well, that's pretty good when it's 9.5 months earlier than what they told you. And really, maybe 39.5 years early, because they said some of the things might never go away. Well, what? The prayer of faith, I was releasing my faith, will save the sick.
Amen.
Will save the sick. He's a miracle working God.
Amen.
He's a God who's a healer.
Yes.
He's a God, praise the Lord, that will take the impossible and make it possible.